John chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 1. The Bible said in the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. It looks like to me that she's involved in the ceremony. Possible. Usually this took place in an evening time after the feast that they had. They took sometimes weeks at these wedding feasts. Isn't it amazing the Lord began His miracles here in Cana? Says that in verse number 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. That it happened to be a marriage. And that's a picture of Christ and His church. He's bringing in or introducing, can I say, a new covenant. And you got to remember now, these people were steeped in Judaism. And here Jesus comes and things change. The Bible said in verse 2, and both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. One thing for sure, you better have the Lord at your marriage. Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible said, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to Him, they have no wine. And I read this today. It said in the east, there in Cana, Jerusalem, that wine was essential for a wedding feast. Drunkenness was a disgrace. But it does look like to me, and I know there's mixed views on this, that the water in some of them places were bad. That this was something that was at the marriage feast. That they seen as something essential to have. Not to have provisions at a wedding would be humiliating. If you invited guests and invited people to come and then they get there and you don't have the provisions. And it looks like to me that here, the Bible said they had no wine. Jesus said unto her after she said that to Him, "What woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." It wasn't that Jesus was being arrogant. It wasn't that Jesus was talking to His mother in a bad way. In other words, He is saying, let me take care of that. She knew He could.
Yeah.
But that's basically what He's saying in this scripture. And that's why His mother in turn in verse 5 says, His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Well, that's a good advice. I mean, that's anything Jesus says, you just do it. Anything the book says, just do it. I'm going to tell you, you'll get nothing stronger or better than the authority of the Scripture tonight. This is the Word of God. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. And if Jesus tells you to do something, then praise God, do it. Amen. That's good advice right there. She's told the servants, and it looks like to me here that she had some kind of involvement there to be able to look to servants and say, now what He says to you, you do it.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. Verse 6, it goes on to say, and there were set there six water pots. Six is the number of man of stone. After a manner of purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. These water pots where the water was for, it says here, purifying. That meant they had washed their feet and used that water to wash their feet. Their feet would get dirty. That was just a custom. That's what they did. They might have put on an old sandal, but it wasn't going to keep their feet clean. They had to wash their feet. That was something in the tradition of them. And also they washed their hands, washed their pots. They used this water for that. And he's saying here too, it contained two or three firkins apiece. And I looked at that today and studied on a while, and it said that these water pots could hold up to 20 to 30 gallons of water.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at 6 times 30, that'd be 180 gallons. That's a lot of water.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. Think about this. That's a lot of wine.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. I mean, they wasn't going to drink all that. And here in this text, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim, so they filled them pots up with water. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear it unto the governor of the feast. And they bear, give it to the governor. He was kind of guy saying he was in charge. He said, give it to that man up there that's in charge. He's kind of in charge of all this and making sure everything's here. And he said, I want him to, and I'm paraphrasing here. Jesus said, I want him to get a taste of it. Boy, I'll tell you, thank God I tasted of it. Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, I'm telling you what tonight, the Bible said, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I'm telling you, when you get a taste of that, you don't want the old. That's why he said, you say the best for last. Thank God what he's done, I like it. Amen. I'm telling you, I've never tasted no wine like this. I'm telling you, when Jesus comes into somebody and thank God they taste of him, they'll say the same thing. They'll say everything else didn't taste no good compared unto the wine. Thank God that I taste now. Amen. That's right. Praise God. In verse number 9, the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine. Notice that. And knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. And the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. Notice that, the bridegroom. And said to him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, in which men have well drunk, then that which is worst. But thou hast kept the good wine unto now. Buddy, we live in a good wine dispensation. We live in the New Testament, brother. We don't live under the old Judaistic law. We don't live under the law. Ain't got a law couldn't bring forth what we needed. And that's what the Lord's saying here. He said, y'all been drinking this old stuff. Buddy, I got something new. And I'm telling you, it's a whole lot better. Ain't got it what Moses could give you. Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. Praise God. Notice what he said at the beginning of the miracle. Did you see Cana Galilee manifested forth his glory? I wonder what this thought. And the disciple, and it says right there, and his disciples believed on him. It wasn't amazing. These people always had to see something before they believed. They always had to see something that was done before they really would believe. And you know, you go through the book of Acts, and really a lot of them Acts the apostles did were only for a sign for them that believe. Amen. That's when go to Cornelius' house. Thank God they get born again, powerful them. They speak with tongues. And he said that was a sign for them that believe that they had the same power and the same Spirit of God in them as they had on the day of Pentecost. That's right. Amen. That's why he said over in 1 Corinthians 14, this different text there, he said if people spoke in tongues, he said they, and an unbeliever there, he said these people's mad. Amen. Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom.
Yes.
That's why, thank God, they had this. When they seen something, isn't it amazing? Thank God, when people see something, amen, they'll say they believe. But Jesus said, blessed are them who have yet not seen yet believed. And I'm telling you, can I tell you this tonight? That there is a lot of things that's possible for God to do tonight for you if you can believe Him. How much faith do you have tonight to believe Him to do what you need? Amen. That's where it's at tonight. That's right. Ceremonial law says it should be done. That's right, He said. He said, go wash. And all these laws of ceremony, that's done away with at Calvary. We don't have to do that. Thank God, we got the law of God in our heart. We got the law of love in our heart. We got that in within us. Thank God, I'll preach tonight if you'll hear me just a minute. I like that verse number 9. It says, the ruler of feasts had tasted the water that was made wine. I want to preach tonight on what turned in me. He had to turn something inside that pot there. That pot had no ability to make that water wine. That pot wasn't nothing but dead. That pot wasn't nothing but stone. That pot wasn't nothing but hard. Amen. It couldn't produce what was needed. And them servants couldn't produce it. And the governor couldn't produce it. And Mary couldn't produce it. And the bridegroom couldn't produce it. But thank God, Jesus did. And buddy, He turned that water in the way. Hey, God, to show the power of God. Amen. And show here was Him. Hey, God, that would give a man. Hey, God, for this wedding in Cana. Amen.
Amen.
I want to say, first of all, He turned death to life. He made me alive with Him. I was dead to God Almighty. I had no light to God. My heart was darkened. My spirit was dead. And it took Jesus, thank God, and His Word and Gospel to turn within me death unto life. You've got to have life in you. Thank God to live. And when He gave me life, I live within. And I now have fellowship with God because I've been born again and I have life living in me and He turned death unto life. Amen. That's right. He had to do that. Now, people don't have no communion with God today because they never have been born again. That's right. How many people in the church or anywhere today have just a dead spirit? Listen, He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. That means that he has no comprehension. He has no fellowship. He has no ability to communicate with the God of heaven. And when He saved me, He quickened me, and He took me out of death, and sealed, and made me alive, and He turned within me, like He changed the water into wine. He changed me inside, from death unto life. Amen. Thank God for that. I want to say this, number 2. He changed emptiness to joy. That pot had to get some water in it and be changed. You know there's joy in a child of God. Amen. There's no scripture in the Bible that says God's people ought not be happy. Amen. God's people ought to be happy. Amen. I mean, there ought to be some bubbly joy in you of what Jesus did in you. And when He turned in me and gave me gladness in my heart and gave me joy in my soul, I was empty. I didn't have nothing to live for. For the inward man, I was completely empty. Had no joy within. But when He turned within me, He gave me. Thank God, joy in my heart. Thank God, friend, He gave it to me by turning in me. Amen. Thank God, buddy, we ought to have some joy in our soul. Amen. You say, what is it? It's gladness of heart. Thank God. Amen. It's just rejoicing and joy. Thank God that's in your soul. Amen. Thank God, we're about dead on that today. Amen, buddy. I'd rather be happy than sad. Amen. That's right. I'd rather be God, glad than sad. Amen. I'm telling you, what a joy. Thank God. I'm telling you, when He done that in my heart, I'm telling you, the first thing I found was peace and joy. Amen. I tell you what, I could not obtain it unless He turned it in me. When he turned, made me alive in God, and washed my sin away, then joy flooded my soul.
Yeah.
I was the happiest man in the world. Amen. Thank God, buddy. When you ever find out Jesus, thank God, is in you, and brother, he's put joy in you. I'm telling you, once in a while, it's going to break out on you. Amen. Thank God, you telling me you had not been born again and never have a joy breakout? I'm telling you, buddy, every once in a while, I just have a breakout. Amen. Break out in joy. Thank God, I don't have to be here to shout. I don't have to be anywhere else. Thank God, I'm where I am, huh? And Billy, when it breaks out on me, it breaks out like the measles, amen. And buddy, you ain't gonna contain it. There's gotta be something, thank God, that'll flood you and overflow in you and cause you to joy in God, amen. Thank God, that's right, buddy. Amen. What did Nehemiah say, 8 and 10? He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know why we weak? We don't have no joy no more.
Yes,
amen. That's right. I know we live in a hard time in the last days, but we don't. Hey, friend, we're in a world that's not our home. Thank God, we're going to heaven. Why don't we joy tonight? Why? Thank God, I was empty. Boy, I didn't have nothing on the inside. I didn't have no peace. I didn't have no lies. I didn't have no vision. I didn't have no revelation. But when He turned in me, thank God, joy came in. Amen. Thank God. Amen, buddy. I'm telling you, there ought to be some joy. He took emptiness and turned it into joy.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what they done. Them pots were empty. They filled it up with water. He turned it into wine. Wine is a picture of joy. It's a picture of luxury. It's a picture of joy. It is just gladness. That's right. Thank God a man drank a glass of wine. Amen. When he's down, I used to say, preacher, now come on now. I know you're Baptist and you're trying to explain the scripture away, but some of that was fermented in the Bible.
Yeah, sure, it was.
But they wasn't a bunch of drunks. That's why he said, be not drunk with wine, were in excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Right.
I know we take the Lord's Supper and it ought not be will wine. That's the fruit of vine. That's pure. Huh? But buddy, I'm telling you, in them eastern countries, that water wasn't fit to drink. And them people, in moderation, a friend had to have something to drink. Amen. And I know bad people say, oh, listen, friend, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raising. Who are deceived thereby is not wise. I'm surely not promoting alcoholic beverages because I'm against it and God is too. But the fact of it is, buddy, there are some things in this Bible, amen, when that Ziba topped the hill and get David, ain't got a cake of raisins and a bottle of wine. I'm telling you, it was something that gave him a little help, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Why did he say give strong grace and that man is perishing?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Right, right.
Hey, I say, well, hey, buddy, if you're looking for an excuse to drink, you're going to do it anyway. I've been saved, and I don't say this in a boastful way. I could go out and do it tonight by midnight. But I'll tell you right now, since the day God saved me over 30 years ago, these lips hadn't had no kind of liquor on them.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. I'm talking about liquor and alcoholic beverages.
Right.
Amen. But I'll tell you one thing, friend. Amen. God, He speaks about drunkenness. He speaks about drunkenness in that Bible. When you He speaks against it. But I'm telling you this tonight, friend. If you look at this Bible here and you see what God says He's using this here to say, thank God, that wine is a picture of joy and then it's a heart. And I'm telling you, I was so empty, I had nothing inside. And when He filled me with the Holy Ghost, thank God, that's joy. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God, sir. Don't say this. I got to go on. He turned in me no hope to hope. I didn't have no hope. I was without God and without Christ in this world. I didn't have no hope. Not a bit. I didn't have no hope. The Bible said we had no hope. Amen. We didn't have a hope, friend. Amen. We was hopeless within. We didn't know it, but we didn't have it. Amen. When the Holy Ghost fell on me under conviction and showed me I was hopeless. Amen. And showed me I was no good. I'm telling you, I had no hope. Amen. That's right. So I heard the gospel.
Mephibosheth, do you think Mephibosheth sat down there and thought he had hope? No, he was a lame on his feet, and he wondered. He was down there. He was Jonathan's son. He had kindness on him because of the covenant between David and Jonathan.
Yeah.
He said, "Is there any left in the house of Saul?" He said, "Well, there's one down there. He's in Mephibosheth in Lodibar.
Yeah.
Down there sitting with lame feet under a table. He had rags on, son."
Mm-hmm.
That's right. He had rags on. He didn't have nothing. Thank God. And David said, "Go down there and get him. He said, "Go down there and fetch him." That's what he said. "Bring him back to the king's house." Amen. That's right, buddy. Hey! When he saw the king's chariot pull up and that servant went in there, amen, he thought he was going to kill him. He did. He thought he was going to take his life because it was a threat to him. But David said, "Thank God, Jesus, I know the king wants you back in his house. He's got something to give you. He made a covenant with your daddy. And praise God, you're going to be blessed, man. And can you thank God, amen, I got hope because of the covenant, amen."
Yeah.
The blood covenant. Amen. Thank God. He brought him back. He laid him on his feet, brought him there. He said, "You can eat at my table all the way. Here it is. Sit at my table and stick them old lame feet and lame legs under it. And you can always be here." And he said, "Look at all this here. It's yours, of lands and all that."
Yes,
amen. He said, "It's yours." Buddy, he left the place. He didn't have that Lodibar. Means a pastorless place. A place of no bread. He left there. Didn't have a hope down there. But thank God why the king's chariot pulled up. I'm telling you, he got hope in his heart. Amen. After the service folks there. And so we're going there unto the king's house. Amen. I believe that was a good ride for him, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen. Thank God. I tell you, that's where we got in. We got on the King's Highway and the King's Chariot one day. Amen. We was in Lodibar, though. Buddy, we was a lost going to hell. Amen. Had not been God to say, "Go get him." Amen. Amen, buddy. He said, "Go fetch old Joe." Amen. Thank God he's a dying and going to hell. But go get him. Go get him. Go get him. Thank God that Baptist preacher has stood up and said, "I come and I tell you about Jesus." And the service said, "Joe, I come at you today. Thank God you can get in the king's chair and you can ride with me and go to the king's house." Amen. Thank God, that's right, buddy. Help me. He turned no hope into hope, amen.
Amen.
That's right. I want to say this. He turned error into truth.
Yeah.
Amen. I didn't have no truth in me, friend. Amen. I was living in a lie. I was a lie. Thank God he turned truth in me. He put truth in my heart. That truth what brought me to Christ. That truth is Christ. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Thank God. Amen. That truth of the Bible. That truth of the Scripture. That truth, praise God, to the Holy Ghost writ. Amen. This is the authority of God right here. And when that man of God said, "You got to be born again," that truth got in my heart. Thank God he turned it over in my soul. He sowed it on good ground. He brought me into the family of God. He made me a new creature in Christ.
Amen.
He turned in me. He had to turn me. He had to turn in me. Thank God for it. He turned me to truth. Amen. Amen. Just like he turned that water into wine.
Right.
You said, "How did he do that?" Supernatural.
Yeah.
How did he speak and he created a world?
Right.
He said, "Let there be light."
Right.
Light. He said, "Let's divide this thing, light and darkness."
Yeah.
Spoke it.
Yeah. That's right.
He spake it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Buddy, I'm telling you, you better get this. He spoke to your heart one day. He's the same God that said, "Let there be light." Spoke to John Robinson and said, "Let there be light." Let it be turning in your heart. So I'm telling you, buddy, he changed that water. He made that water wine. And he done it by his own authority. And he done everything by his authority. Amen. Thank God, that's right. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll say this too. Let's go to the next one. Thank God. I'll tell you what he done. He changed it. He changed the law to grace. Amen. Hey, friend, we couldn't keep the law. You know, every time he looked in, if you looked in that water pot with water, all it do is reflect yourself.
That's right.
So, boy, I look, I'm a sinner. God says I broke his law. He said, I need to get out of this. And he said, what the law could not do.
Yes.
What the law could not do.
Could not do it.
Now, there's not a thing wrong with the law.
Absolutely.
Not nothing. He said, it's just holy and good. Amen. If you take the law, then you can be saved.
Right.
If you can keep everything about the law, if you can keep it holy, just, I mean, do everything. I mean, if you can love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength from the day you're accountable and love your neighbor as yourself and never sin, then you can be saved. Fact of it is, not a one could. And not a one half besides Jesus.
Amen.
That's right, buddy. So he said that law inside that stone pot, he said that law's only written condemnation on you. He said, he's saying you condemned. I mean, you as guilty and you're condemned. That's what conviction is. Conviction is condemnation on a sinner to let him know where he's at. He don't let you know where you're at. You'll go right to hell. You know what conviction is? The word conviction means to convict, means to convince. Salvation is not a profession.
Right.
Let me say this tonight. Hear me good. The Holy Ghost is the only one that can let you know what you have. Is that not right? He's a witness of what happened the day you got in. But you didn't get in by law keeping. The Holy Ghost never witnessed nothing like that. The Holy Ghost witnessed a new birth, and it came by grace and completely the favor of God, and it's not of you, it's of God. You don't have to make 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 professions to get God's approval. Can I tell you, one profession don't get God's approval. The approval's not in you, it's the approval's in the finished work of Calvary and what the Holy Ghost did in your heart. That's what God approves. He don't approve nothing I did. If I put my old dirty hand to it, He never would accept it. Amen. That's right. But you, He said, don't even put your dirty hand. And I think that's why God got so angry at that golden calf, even though they was dancing around it naked, acting like a bunch of heathens. I believe God got mad because they put their hand and made something out of it with their own hands. And they started worshiping and telling God what He did and what He said wasn't enough. They had to do it yourself. I'm telling you, God's angry with that.
Exactly right.
Law. Hear me. Why should a preacher preach law? I'm gonna listen to me. A preacher should preach law to show you where you at. He should never preach law to bring you under it.
No. Amen.
I'm not under the law.
Right.
I'm under grace.
Yeah, exactly.
Shall we continue that we're not under law in sin? No. Grace is greater than the law. The law can't keep you from sin.
No.
If all I preach was law, 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 you know what you're going to feel? Depressed. You know what you're going to say? Man, I'm a bad dude. I ain't no good. Well, you know what? We ain't no good except the grace of God. But the fact of it is, praise God, you gotta see what Jesus did, friend. It's not what you did, it's what Jesus did. Amen. I'm not going to heaven tonight on what I did or what I didn't do. I'm going on what He did. Amen.
Right.
Great. This is grace tonight. Grace is saying this. This is grace talking. Law says you're guilty and you're going to hell. Grace says, no, He's not. Thank God I'm having favor on him, yet he's a sinner because Christ died and rose again. I'm going to have favor on him, forgive him of his sin, and I'm going to justify him, and he's already seated in heaven, and you can't touch him.
Amen.
Grace says, Keith Redmond don't deserve nothing but hell. But my Father's got a lot of mercy.
Yeah.
And because he's got all the mercy, I'm going to give him grace. I'm going to save him. And I'm going to do it because I want to give him favor.
That's right.
Through my son who died.
Amen.
That's right. Can I tell you this tonight? I know a lot of preaching today is geared to try to straighten people out that's not living where they ought to live. Okay? That's all right. But the fact of it is, all you're going to produce is the flesh. You do what you do because God's in you and because He put it in you.
Absolutely, yeah.
There ain't a man alive, Brother Joe, could keep me and you straight.
No, sir. I'll justify
that's
anything
right.
I want.
That's
to.
Right. Ain't a one in here can keep themselves straight. Somebody said, hey, man, and I've got to think about this. Somebody said, well, did he come to church? I said, it ain't in him. Grace in a man's heart causes him to live in love for God.
Yeah.
I didn't call a one of you tonight and say, y'all better be at church tonight. God don't put a fence around His sheep. He leads them. And they follow Him. And I'm going to tell you, when God turned in your heart, you know what He does? He kissed you with the grace of God. And He put grace in your heart to live for Him. And right here, thank God, amen, in Genesis 2 and 7, He said that in the ages to come, He's going to say, look at what grace did for Redmond. Look what grace did for Cranfield. That's all my grace. That's why He said, look at this trophy right here. These men wasn't up but wicked, low-down sinners. But now, thank God, they're shining in the glory land because of my grace. Amen, because God had grace. Hey, God, He had to turn in your heart from all the grace. That's why Jesus came, and that's why they hated Him. Because they couldn't say, look what we've done.
There you go. Amen.
Look what we've done. The more I think about the elder son, he wasn't nothing but a pharisaical, lying hypocrite. Because he said, I have never transgressed you. It's all about him. That's why them Pharisees hated Jesus, because he knocked self-righteousness out of them, son. He said, hey, I'm going to tell you what, y'all are blind leading the blind. He said, y'all a bunch of hypocrites and snakes. That's what he said. He said, how you get in heaven, preacher? Low. You don't come in standing up. You got to get low. That's how you're going to get in heaven. You got to get low.
Amen.
That's why a few of there be that find it, they won't get low. That's right. All that pride, son, wants me to halt up and say, hey, look at me, son. Hey, when Jesus convicts you and you see how much He loved you and you see how much He done and He said you can have eternal life if you just believe, thank God you'll say, oh, hey, Lord.
Yeah.
God, I'll come that way. Amen. Hey, you got to turn in you. You got to turn in you. And I'll say this, I'm through. Hey, you got to turn that flesh. That fleshly birth into that spiritual birth.
Yeah.
It's got to be turned. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit.
Yep.
Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Amen. He said, you go fill them water pots up to the brim.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
He said, now taste it, son. I want the governor to put his tongue on it first. Put it in there. Man, this is some good wine right here. Hey, shouldn't people come in this church and say, boy, I tasted some good things around the house of God today. Not, hey, we ain't wanting bitter wine. We don't want no strife in the wine, no bitterness in the wine, no criticism in the wine, no gossip in the wine. We don't want self-righteousness in the wine. Thank God we want the pure wine.
Yeah.
It comes from the Father. Amen. He said, that's that good wine. He said, boy, I tell you what, I usually have the good wine at first. He said, but praise God, we saved it for the last. He said, I saved it for old height. I'd say that for a New Testament day that all them old sinners would be born, and I give it to them. Hey, God doesn't matter to y'all. It's the new. Hey, God, turn it in your hearts.
Amen.
You know what it said when these people got married? I don't know if all this is true. You know, I've read it today. You know, everything you read is not true if it ain't in the Bible. But they said, Brother Joe, that when they got married, that they didn't go on no honeymoon. They said they had a, they went to the house and they had an open house. And they said they put on kings and queens apparel. And people come and see them. And they was in apparel that, because of the marriage, you know, people come and say, man, y'all, this is the king and queen's house right here. One about to kick that pillow. Sonny called us. Thank God in His righteousness. Hey, God, when we married Him, He took us in. He put us in His house. Hey, God, when they see us, they see the grace of God. Amen. Right. They didn't close the door when they got married. They opened it up. And said, look what the king done for us. Come on in. Buddy, that church door, I'll say, come on in.
Come on.
Come on in. You're going to see some different people. You're going to see some people love God, praise God,
amen,
worship God. Amen, buddy. Thank God, that's what they ought to see. We don't have a closed door. Amen, it's an open door for sinners to see what Jesus did. Amen. He says, that's the beginning of miracles. Right here, disciples believed on Him. Amen. Praise God. Well, may the Lord bless it. Has He ever changed your water into wine? Has He ever changed your water into wine? Has He ever done it? You say, I don't feel like it. Praise God. Believe it.
Yeah.
Feelings will come, buddy, but they go too. But it's by faith. Faith believing.
Yes.
Amen. That's right. Thank God. Let's stand. And I appreciate you and thank God for you. Brother.